The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it look like to be people of Pentecost, to be claimed by the Spirit? On that day when Jesus was resurrected and he joined the 11 remaining disciples in the room where they had shared a last meal with Jesus, at first, they looked like they were filled with fear. But once he had appeared in their midst, had said, "Peace be with you," and had shown them his hands and his side, they rejoiced. This is John's description of the disciples' post-resurrection receipt of Holy Spirit. Now Luke's telling is much more animated, much livelier in fact. It is thrilling. Here there were 120 of Jesus' followers in a house in Jerusalem where they had been waiting since he had left them 10 days before when he ascended to heaven. They had just asked God to select a replacement for Judas Iscariot, who had taken his own life after betraying Jesus. Then the violent wind blew through the house and divided tongues of fire rested on each of them and appeared among them. And they began speaking languages they had never spoken before. Can you imagine it? I'm not sure that I'm quite up to the task. They must have gone out of the house because suddenly they were surrounded by a huge crowd of people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Weeks, commemorating God having given the law to Moses and giving thanks for the year's harvest. The many names of their homelands, although familiar to us, are not meaningful because they're ancient. But there were people from these present-day countries: Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Libya, Greece, and Italy. This covered an area of about 1,500 to 2,000 miles in all directions, north to south and east to west. This was the fulfillment of Jesus' promises to them back before he was arrested, and then again before he ascended from their midst. They now had a new advocate to accompany them. They had power to be witnesses of the resurrected Jesus, the Messiah, in both word, in any language now, since they were all multilingual, and in action to the entire known world. And in the midst of what must have sounded like chaos, Peter, the fisher, heard the skepticism of someone in the crowd, accusing them of being drunk. Suddenly, he began to preach, powered by Holy Spirit. The crowds listened to him and were touched by his message to the extent that 3,000 multi-ethnic Jews repented of the abandonment of Jesus just 50 days earlier by the Jews of Jerusalem when they shouted, "Crucify him!" These 3,000 presented themselves for baptism and became followers of Jesus. It's hard to tell the size of the world population at that time, but my investigation has revealed that the baptismal group might have been equivalent to close to 500,000 people of today's world population. That's some baptism class, huh? On this day, Holy Spirit transcended multiple layers of differences to accomplish God's many purposes by doing a completely new thing. The disciples, followers of Jesus, now were apostles, representatives of God who were charged with proclaiming the gospel. Their ability to carry out that mission came to them by the gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracle working, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of the Jesus followers are gifted, each differently, but all are empowered to carry out our own ministry, rather than some of us being called to ministry and others being ministered to because maybe they were skipped when the gifts were bestowed. No, God hasn't skipped anyone in bestowing gifts upon us. Through the Holy Spirit, apostles, those of both the first and the 21st centuries, receive the fullness of the glorified Son so that our lives can accomplish the same kinds of things that Jesus did during his earthly life, or even greater things, which he promised would be the case in the 14th chapter of John. So we are called to bring to the world not only the hope of the gospel, but also the healing of the world, sometimes through miracles, sometimes through teaching or explaining or communicating or prophesying. So today we celebrate how we as Christians are uniquely equipped to respond to the illness, the brokenness, the despair, the anger, the pain, and the death from disease and disaster and human destruction that characterize our world these days. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Receive, Holy Spirit. So, are you ready to go to work? And it sounds like Jesus has one more job for us too in this reading. If you forgive the sins of any, he says, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This sounds at first blush like we're all in the confession and absolution business. But sin in John's gospel is not about moral failings. Sin in John's gospel is failing to recognize or to embrace the revelation of God in Jesus. To have sinned then is to remain estranged from God, separated. So through the Spirit that enables us to bear witness, we can set people free or release them from that condition of estrangement. Our translation uses the word forgive for setting free or releasing. And we do that by testifying to God's work in the world and in our lives. If we fail to bear witness to Jesus, the opposite of people being freed will occur. The world will be full of people who are unable to grasp the knowledge of God. Their sins will be retained because they are unable or unwilling to receive Jesus as the revelation of God. So if we don't bear witness to Christ, we make ourselves a church unable to play a role in delivering people from what keeps them from experiencing the fullness that Jesus offers. I was comforted to come to this understanding as I plunged into commentary this week on this verse, because the events of the past week in our country left me feeling that I might not be able to function as a follower of Jesus because I didn't feel forgiving towards some actions taken by some people in our country. I couldn't understand a great deal of the behavior that I was hearing people were carrying out. Why were people so intent on going to get their hair cut or to go out to dinner or to hang out in crowds at the beach or in a bar, when they're doing that might well result in yet more people, including themselves, acquiring the coronavirus and maybe being very ill or even dying? We've already experienced more than 100,000 people losing their lives in this country. Also, why do so many white people in this country think that they are justified in terrorizing or taking the lives of people of color? The continued actions of police and people who think they have the authority of police or just some great power in taking the lives of others or threatening to do so. Most recently, we lift up Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and right here in New York, Christopher Cooper. These actions left me completely at a loss. And the violence that has followed this week in more than a dozen cities that's going on right now in response to those depraved actions has just enlarged and expanded the devastation that we're facing. And it also has increased the chance of the virus spreading further. So when I reread Jesus' words about forgiving the sins of others, it distressed me because I didn't feel forgiving toward any of these people regarding their actions, at least not at the present time. I had thought that it would be quite a job for the Holy Spirit to bring me around to doing forgiving. But this different understanding of forgiving and retaining sins that I received in doing my research, that invites me into wholehearted apostleship. Proclaiming Jesus as God the Son certainly is within my ability, especially with the power of the Holy Spirit working within me. For this recognition, I'm heartened and I'm energized, and I give thanks to God. I pray that others find meaning and energy and a sense of call in it as well. What does it look like to be people of Pentecost, to be those claimed by the Spirit? It looks like the Church of Christ in every age, called, gathered, and sent yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to recognize the spiritual gifts you have infused us with, so that each of us can live out our role in the community of Christ, strengthening the church on earth and helping us to reach others who are not now in relationship with you in Jesus. And assure us, since we know that you have called us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown, assure us that you will give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.